Master Patrick Hines here, and there was a person who left a comment on the video Atheist Mockery of Hell, a video that I put out a while back that my brother Richard posted on his much larger channel. And someone left a comment, and it's actually a very thoughtful comment, and it doesn't have profanity in it or anything. So that's a good on whoever this individual is. But the comments here are very typical, and they illustrate very common misunderstandings and very common ignorance of the truth. And so I wanted to read this fellow's comments and respond to them briefly here. He writes here, here's two examples, in my opinion, that demonstrate the inconsistency of justice and the Christian hell. His first comment, number one, Gandhi led a good moral life, but since he did not accept Jesus, he is supposedly burning in hell right now. Yet a mass murderer could repent and accept Jesus in the last minute of his life and gain access to heaven. Does not seem like justice to me. Okay, several things need to be said in response to this. Number one, when you think about what the standard is, that God holds us to, not our standard of what we think is good, but what God says is good, something that matches perfectly to his holiness. Gandhi did not live a good or moral life. And the fact is, the person that wrote this does not live a good moral life either. I, myself, do not live a good and moral life. I am a sinner who falls short of the glory of God, and it has been justified freely by the grace of God alone, not because I'm good. Because there is, as Scripture says over and over again, Romans chapter 3, verses 10 and following, there is none who does good. No, not one. Gandhi was not a good or moral person in the sense that he measured up to the holiness of his Creator. And so Gandhi, as far as I know, never believed the gospel. So yeah, he died in his sins because that's where he wanted to be. He wanted to be a slave to sin, just like everyone else, and went to hell, justly so, for his sin. And then this individual points out, a mass murderer could repent and accept Jesus in the last minute of his life and gain access to heaven. Exactly correct. Because if a person truly does repent, like the man that died on the cross next to Jesus, and he realized in those final moments of his life that what he was getting was just, it's a pretty amazing moment. It's recorded for us in Luke's gospel. Both of the men that were crucified on either side of Jesus, at first both of them were mocking Jesus and reviling him and cursing him and saying all kinds of nasty things to him. But then all of a sudden, God's Holy Spirit breaks through on one of them. And he says to the other, do you not even fear God, seeing that you are under the same sentence of condemnation as he? And we indeed justly, for we are receiving the due reward of our deeds. But this man has done nothing wrong. That's something, what that man on the cross experienced is something this fellow that wrote this comment has never experienced. And that is the convicting work of the Holy Spirit of God. You see, before I became a Christian, I thought I was a pretty good guy. I did. I thought I was a pretty good guy. And when God closed in and God opened my eyes to see who he really is, his holiness, not my standard of good or moral, but God's standard of good and moral, I saw, man, I have fooled everybody. I have fooled everybody but the one that matters most, and that is God. God sees my heart. God knows the pride and anger and lust and envy and selfishness that dwells there. And I remember thinking at age 18, you're going to the blackest corner of hell. You are going to hell, and rightly so. And I remember even thinking back then, it would be wrong for God not to send me to hell. But this guy's never experienced that before. I pray, whoever this is that wrote this, that God will show you what good really is, what moral really means. If you understood what good means and you understood what moral really means, you would never apply those terms to any human being, past, present, or future, that you've ever heard of or read about, except Jesus Christ. There's only one good person who has ever lived, and Gandhi is not him, and Muhammad is not him, and Buddha is not him. It's Jesus Christ, Jesus of Nazareth. So yeah, someone can accept Christ, someone can trust in Jesus and repent and come to their senses in the last moments of their life, and justice is satisfied for that person's sins by Jesus on the cross so that they can be forgiven and go to heaven. You see, the reason that I know I'm going to heaven is not because I'm good. It's because I know that I'm not good. And I know that the holiness and the righteousness by which I will enter heaven is given to me by Jesus Christ alone. Not by my works, lest anyone should boast, but solely, completely, and only on the basis of Jesus's goodness. His righteousness is legally credited to my account. My guilt and my sin were legally credited to him at the cross, and he bore it away. It says in 1 Peter 2:24 that Christ bore in his body our sins upon the cross. Am I a good person? No, I am not. Is the person that wrote this good? Nope. Is Gandhi? Was Gandhi good? Was he a good moral person? No. Not in the sense of living up to God's holiness. Oh, compared to other humans? Oh, sure. I'm a pretty good guy. I'm sure the guy that wrote this loved to sit down and have a cup of coffee with him. I'm sure he's a nice fellow, whoever it is that wrote this. Is in that sense, compared to other people, good. But compared to the holiness of God, there is none good. No, not even one, it says in Romans chapter 3. And the Apostle Paul, formerly known as Saul of Tarsus, who wrote that in Romans chapter 3, 10 and following, who said, there is none who does good, no, not one. There is none righteous, no, not one. He actually thought he was a really good person once too. He would have described himself as a good. He would have reacted in righteous horror to the idea that God could send such good people to hell. Once he saw the righteousness of God, once he saw the holiness of God, once he saw the standard by which God measures us, not the standard by which we measure each other, but the standard by which God measures us, he knew there is none good, there is none righteous, and I am the chief of sinners. And he saw that what he needed was someone else's righteousness imputed to him, credited to his account, and someone else to bear the guilt, because we could never pay for it. Okay, so that's my response to his first comment. Second comment, from the first century through the 18th century, the Aboriginal people of Australia had no knowledge of Jesus. For over 1,800 plus years, tens of millions were born, lived, and died. However, under the Christian worldview, all those people are burning in hell. Exactly correct, that's right. I would ask the question, were the Aboriginal people of Australia sinful, or were they good? They were sinful. Now, were there probably some nice people there that were, you know, generally speaking, compared to other people, generally nice? Sure. But did they measure up to God's standard? No. You know, when I was examined for ordination to the ministry, a very clever churchman, a pastor, asked me this question. He said, Patrick, where do all of the innocent people of the world go when they die who have never heard about Jesus? And I said, they all go to heaven. And it was kind of like silence. And he said, really? I said, yeah. Innocent people from all over the world who die and have never heard of Jesus, they instantly go to heaven. Innocent people don't need a savior. Now, it's an empty set. There are no such people anywhere among the Aboriginals, among the people of Central Africa, among the people in the far-flung regions of the world and all the islands in the South Pacific. There are no innocent people. But if there were innocent people that died with no knowledge of Jesus, they would go to heaven because they wouldn't need a savior. The problem is there are none. How do people live their lives apart from the grace of God? They live their lives willfully, lovingly, enslaved to sin. They don't want any part of God. They want nothing to do with God. And very often when missionaries come with the gospel, they get killed or persecuted bitterly because these people do not want to repent and they don't want anything to do with God. You see, this individual that wrote these comments has no understanding of the holiness of God, no understanding of the depth of human sin and depravity. All these people, they all lived and died, and they never heard of Jesus. They're all burning in hell, as if that there's something unrighteous or unjust about that. There's nothing unjust about that. Sinners going to hell for their sins? How does that violate anything in the canons of justice? If God is a righteous and holy judge, and mankind universally is sinful and evil when compared to the holiness of God, God would not be good if he let them into heaven. God would not be just if he let them into heaven. So yeah, people react with righteous indignation. Like, oh, how could this happen? How could all these sweet, innocent people? There are no sweet, innocent people. There's no one who measures up to the holiness of God. No one. And the Aboriginal people, or whoever you want to talk about, people in the United States, I'm convinced that America today is one of the darkest nations in the world. In fact, you can grow up in churches today and live your entire life going to church and die and never hear the gospel. What happens to them? They die in their sins and go to hell, which is exactly what they want. And people don't realize. People don't want to repent. They don't want the grace of God. They want to sin. Before I became a Christian, before God changed my heart, that's all I wanted to do. I just wanted to sin and not get in too much trouble. I had no desire to amend my life. I had no desire to change anything. I didn't care. Until God opened my eyes to see. And then I saw him for all of his holiness, and I saw me for what I really am. Not a good guy. A bad guy. An evil person. Selfish person. Someone who deserved to go to hell. Someone who should go to hell. God would have done me no injustice at all if he had just left me in my sins and go to hell. And at the time, I wouldn't have cared anyway. I would have been like, fine, let me go. I don't care. I don't want anything to do with you anyway. All you're trying to do is take away all my fun. The fact is, I didn't know what it was to really enjoy life or have fun until I came to know Christ, until I was reconciled to my Creator and started, by his grace, making the beginning steps of obedience to his law. So what about Gandhi? Gandhi wasn't moral or good in comparison to the holiness of God. He was evil and sinful. And if he didn't know Christ, he died in his sins and went to hell and was just. And the person who is a mass murderer, who repents and believes in Jesus, the justice against their sins was satisfied at the cross. That's the whole point. That's what grace is all about. When a person comes to their senses and they finally see the truth and they trust in Christ, then they can be saved. From the first century to the 18th, the Aboriginal people had no knowledge of Jesus. Tens of millions were born and lived and died under the Christian worldview. They all went to hell. That's right, they did. And they'd have it no other way. They wouldn't have it any other way because they loved sin, they were slaves of sin, and they wanted nothing to do with God. So he says, note, using Romans 2 to explain this opens up another can of worms. How? Or what are we talking about? Romans 2, 14 and following, where it says, when Gentiles who do not have the law do the things in the law, they show that the law of God is written on their hearts. That's right. In their heart of hearts, everybody knows that God exists. Everyone knows that he's there. So if Romans chapter 1 and 2 is correct, which it is, I would expect to hear a lot of atheists screaming that they don't believe in God. But in their hearts, they act like he's real. They act like there's such a thing as justice. They act like there's such a thing as wrong. I mean, even the very presuppositions behind this, that there's such a concept of justice. This guy doesn't believe in the one true God. He's got no basis upon which to call something just or unjust. By what standard are you judging God here? By what standard that is fixed, transcendent, and unchanging, are you judging anything as being just or unjust? Romans chapter 2 is very clear. Everybody knows that certain things are right and certain things are wrong. And between ourselves, our thoughts accusing or excusing. Sometimes men's thoughts accuse them and they feel a sense of guilt, but then they suppress that and run away from it. Or their thoughts will excuse them. They'll make excuses for themselves. But either way, they all fall short of the glory of God. Gandhi fell short of the glory of God. The Aborigines fell short of the glory of God. I fall short of the glory of God. You see, there's no understanding of grace here. Grace requires unconditional election. God has to choose people to save, because if he doesn't do that, nobody will have a desire to be saved. Nobody will ever want to be saved if God doesn't change their heart. And God has every right. God had every right and has every right to leave every person on this planet in their sins and under his just condemnation. So hopefully that helps this individual. He said here, Anywho, I'm not a troll, nor will I call you names or anything. I simply highlighted issues that I have. I cannot attest to anyone else. I appreciate this guy's civility, that he was able to express this without cussing and swearing and everything else. A lot of times, I don't, you know, that kind of stuff doesn't bother me that much. I'm used to it from that camp. But YouTube will filter out profanity. There was a guy that I was dialoguing with. I eventually just deleted all of his comments because he was just so nasty. I kept telling him, everything that you're doing and the way you're doing it is an illustration that everything that Romans says about you is true. Don't you see this? But anyway, I appreciate this fellow's comments. There's no understanding of holiness, no understanding of what good or moral means in the sight of God, and no understanding of justice either. There's nothing unjust about God condemning sinners for their sins, especially if they were unrepentant and had no desire to repent either. So hopefully this has been helpful to you. Thank you all for watching or for listening. Pastor Patrick Hines of Bridwell Heights Presbyterian Church in Kingsport, Tennessee. You can visit us on the web at bridwellheightschurch.com, where all the sermons and podcasts are put into our sermon audio feed, which is accessible in iTunes as well as the podcast app. You are welcome to join us any Sunday morning for Sunday school for all ages at 10 a.m. and then worship for everyone at 11 a.m. If you ever have any questions about the Christian faith or the Bible, you can email me at pastor@bridwellheightschurch.org. May the Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious unto you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace.